Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week as well as next week, we're looking at the prophecies in the book of Daniel. Thus far, we've looked at the prophecies as recorded in Daniel chapter 2, the empires that would rise up. And today we're going to continue what we looked at yesterday in focusing on this fourth empire and looking at the two different interpretations that exist within the church as to the fulfillment of these prophecies. As I mentioned yesterday, there's two primary viewpoints which have been given the terms the amillennial position as well as the premillennial position. The word millennium comes from Revelation chapter 20, which speaks of Christ ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. And those that are amillennial, the letter A means not. So it means that they don't believe that there'll be a literal, physical, 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. They look at that portion of Scripture and understand it more as an allegory, meaning that Christ is going to rule and reign for a long time. So when they see this image of different metals and the rock that comes out of heaven that's not cut with hands and destroys this image, they would apply that to the first coming of Jesus Christ. And at that point, that's when the Lord established his kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, not a earthly, literal, physical kingdom that the Lord intended to establish. And so they would look at Daniel chapter 2 as already being fulfilled, and that we're actually in the millennium right now, that Christ is ruling and reigning in heaven as he established a spiritual kingdom. Now, the premillennial position is that this empire, this fourth empire, is Rome, that Christ came at his first coming, and the premillennial understanding is that at the second coming of Jesus Christ, he will set up a kingdom, a physical, literal kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. The church will rule and reign with Christ, and this kingdom will be established in Israel, in Jerusalem, and Christ will sit on the throne of David and fulfill all the prophecies that are discussed in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel. And the premillennial understanding of Daniel chapter 2 is that the fourth empire is Rome, but there's also more to this fourth empire than just the Roman Empire itself. It'll reform later on in the form of 10 kingdoms that'll come together to form one nation and one power. And those 10 nations will give their authority to one ruler, which the Bible calls the Antichrist or the Beast, and he will claim to be God and demand to be worshipped at God. During the reign of that empire, that's when the Lord will come back at a second coming, as predicted in verse 44 and verse 45, as a stone that's not cut with hands comes out of heaven and destroys that final kingdom that will rebel against the Lord, and he will utterly destroy it and then establish his kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible says he'll make a new heavens and a new earth, and that's where that eternal kingdom will start. There's no doubt that the Lord did come to establish a spiritual kingdom, and we could agree that we are in that kingdom right now, that spiritual kingdom, as Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So I agree totally that there is a spiritual kingdom that the Lord established, but it doesn't take away from the fact that he also made certain promises to the nation of Israel that he will fulfill during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. So that means that actually, this fourth empire is Rome. It has died out, but it'll also reform. That's why we call it the revived Roman Empire. And I want to take you through some scriptures for the rest of our time together to show you that exact point. First of all, we need to start in Daniel chapter 2, verse 34 and 35, which describes the stone coming and destroying the empire. He says, "You watched while the stone was cut out without hands and struck the image on its feet of iron, of clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So we definitely see this kingdom is going to fill the entire earth. And I don't believe that's the church going and establishing churches around or furthering the message of the gospel. I believe it's when the Lord establishes his kingdom over the entire earth. I want to point out in verse 34, I believe that this relates to other references that we'll look at. This stone, when it came, it didn't crush the head of the image, but it struck it upon its feet. And I believe that these 10 toes can be related to these other 10 kings that will be discussed later on in the book of Daniel as well as in the book of Revelation. And that's what I believe he means by verse 44. It says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom." So here this last empire is going to have a plurality of leaders referred to as kings. Now, it doesn't mention precisely in Daniel chapter 2 that these kings, the number is 10. We find that in Daniel chapter 7. But I want you to see the connection. There's a plurality of kings. 10 kings will come together in this last form of the Roman Empire. See, those that are amillennial have a major problem in that nowhere in history have we seen in the Roman Empire 10 kings come together to form one empire. But that's exactly what Daniel chapter 7 is going to predict. I believe this point alone makes it impossible to apply the stone coming out of heaven and crushing the empire to apply to any time in Rome's history, especially in the time of Jesus Christ when he first came. There's nothing even remotely close of 10 kings coming together in the time of Christ. This is primarily why I believe this is in our future, this last empire that'll come together and form 10 nations together to form one last world empire. And we receive this primarily from the book of Daniel chapter 7, where he's also describing this last empire, the Roman Empire, which takes on another form later on in its history. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it reads this way, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, and it had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it." And that is a prediction of Rome, how it went and conquered and destroyed, just as we saw in Daniel chapter 2. But this is also going to add another detail that we need to investigate. Daniel points out that this beast was different from all the others. It says it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. "I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first were plucked out by the roots. And there in the horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words." Now, the good news about the book of Daniel here is we don't have to guess what these horns are, because he's going to tell us later on in the chapter in verse 24 and 25. And these verses read this way. "The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom." So we definitely have a prophecy that these 10 horns are 10 kings. And don't miss this next phrase. It says, "who shall arise from this kingdom." So at some point from Rome, 10 kings are going to rise out of that empire. That has not happened historically. That has never happened in the history of the Roman Empire when it existed. So I believe it's impossible, or this makes it impossible, for Daniel chapter 2, the stone coming out of heaven, to be a reference to the Roman Empire that existed in the time of Christ. We need to look for an interpretation that relates to something beyond Rome in the time when Christ was here, and to look to the future, because we still are looking for a time when these 10 kings are going to rise out of the territory that Rome once occupied. And that's what it means where it says, "who shall arise from this kingdom." And then it goes on to say, to describe that little horn, "and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. So in the process of these 10 kings coming together, ultimately what's going to happen, another horn, another king is going to rise up and ultimately take the authority of those 10 kings. They're actually going to give their authority to him, the book of Revelation describes. And in the process, 3 of them are going to put up some sort of opposition, but this horn is going to overpower them and be able to prevail over them. And they'll ultimately submit their authority to him. And this little horn here ultimately becomes the one that we call the Antichrist. In verse 25, it describes what he'll do. "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a times, time, and a half a time," which is a reference to a 3.5-year period. So the Antichrist is going to speak pompous words against God. That means he's going to blaspheme God. He's going to claim to be God. He's going to persecute the saints for a period of time. The only one that could fit this category, this description, is who we commonly call the Antichrist. Another portion of Scripture that we need to analyze in light of these 10 kings is Revelation chapter 13 and 17. In Revelation 13, John sees a beast that has 7 heads and 10 horns. And once again, like the book of Revelation, we don't have to guess as to what it is, because the angel that's with John interprets what these symbols mean in chapter 17. And verse 7 reads this way, "But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. So here we're told that the angel is going to tell him what this is. And the focus for our study today is on the 10 horns. And just like the 10 horns represented 10 kings in the book of Daniel, it'll do the same thing in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 17, verse 10 is a description of what these 10 horns are. And Revelation 17, verse 12 supplies us with an interpretation of what these 10 horns are. And it reads this way, And the 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings, just like we saw in the book of Daniel. It's amazing how consistent the scriptures are. But then he goes on to say, and this is important, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. And the beast turns out to be the Antichrist, the leader of this last world empire. It says here, these 10 horns are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as of yet. I believe that there's an obvious connection with Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation 17. And it says here, in the time of John, who wrote the book of Revelation in approximately 95-96 AD, he says these 10 kings in his time period had not yet come together. They're going to reign in the future, and they're going to reign with the beast, that last world empire. So we see from Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and Revelation 17, that Rome is going to reform itself into another empire that will take the form of 10 kings coming together. And these 10 kings will ultimately give all their authority to that last one world ruler. And at that point, in the days of those kings, that's when the stone's going to come out of heaven and squash that kingdom, as described in Revelation chapter 19. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back and squashes that empire, and that's when he establishes his kingdom. And I believe that is what Daniel 2 predicts, not a reference to the first coming of Jesus Christ when the Lord came during the Roman Empire, but when Rome is revived and takes the form of 10 kings coming together. In the days of those kingdoms, the Lord's going to squash that kingdom and establish his kingdom. And that's what we're waiting for. That's what we're longing for, the Lord to establish his kingdom in righteousness and in peace. And until then, the scriptures tell us to be faithful, to persevere, to be ready, to understand the times and seasons that we live in, and to be alert as to the signs that are given to us of this day and age in which we live in.